But your question about adding in new agents for this disease, you know, one of the more provocative, if you will, presentations at ASCO was by MD Anderson, the SMART trial. Jason Weston presented this lead-in of two cycles of ibrutinib, lenalidomide, and rituximab in treatment-naive diffuse large B-cell lymphoma. And when you think about it, I mean, this is a non-chemotherapy biologic agent regimen for two cycles before R-CHOP is ever given. And, you know, I think it takes quite a bit of conviction to be able to do it, but the trial really was interesting with a very high overall response rate, 86% in the first two cycles, just with those agents alone before the R-CHOP was added in. So it's a small study. It's a single, you know, arm, single institution study, 60 patients. But, you know, when we think about adding new agents into frontline diffuse large B-cell lymphoma, maybe that is the strategy to take. And one other piece about that trial is that it was limited to the non-germinal center diffuse large B-cell lymphoma population. So he certainly enriched for the people most likely to respond to lenalidomide and ibrutinib.
That's such a cool concept, though. It almost reminds me of neoadjuvant treatment. You know, sometimes, like I saw, like neoadjuvant checkpoint errors before you go to lung surgery. So, you know, it does also get into the issue, though, what you were talking about, having to delay. But let me get this straight. Rituximab, ibrutinib, and lenalidomide.
Mm-hmm.
So sort of R-squared ibrutinib?
Right. And the interesting thing about that triplet is that it's been tested in other settings. As part of Alliance, there is a trial that looked at frontline follicular lymphoma that concluded it was too toxic a regimen because there was so much grade 3 rash. And there's a similar study in mantle cell lymphoma where there was quite a bit of toxicity. So it's interesting that at least in this setting, that degree of rash wasn't seen, and it seemed to be a tolerable regimen. And I think we'll learn more about it. But when it comes to diffuse large B-cell lymphoma, I think improving upon R-CHOP has had a setback, if you will, with all of these large, you know, scale phase 3 trials, you know, not really changing the needle or moving the needle. But there may be other ways to think about it, especially as we learn more about the biology.
Wow, what a concept. What about R-squared in diffuse large B-cell? Has that ever been used, like, up front?
Yeah, not up front just by itself, but R-squared added to CHOP, which is the robust study,
sure,
as well as an ECOG trial. But no, that has not been done.
Wow.
Which makes this other study even more, you know, we know that R-squared in the relapsed and refractory setting for diffuse large B-cell lymphoma, there are phase 2 data, but I would say that in practice, I certainly use R-squared for patients with relapsed and refractory diffuse large B-cell lymphoma, especially if they have the non-germinal center phenotype.
Right. And it's interesting because most investigators do that, but a lot of docs in practice don't, which I've never been able to sort of figure out because, you know, clearly it does help people. So, wow, I'm still trying to process that, but really interesting.
Yeah.
I guess one other point before we start moving on to relapse disease and actually coming back to where we might be not too distant future up front in terms of maybe polatuzumab up front,
mm-hmm.
but